On this episode of Wines to Find, Sandy and Michelle taste and discuss Sardinian wines in an episode inspired by the Blue Zone's diet. Let's listen.
Hi, I'm Michelle.
And I'm Sandy.
We're two sisters tasting and reviewing wine with the goal of taking the WTF out of
Wines to Find.
Welcome to episode 104 of Wines to Find and 2022. Woohoo!
Yes, happy new year, everyone.
Our wines today are a 2019 Vermentino di Sardegna and a 2019 Cananao di Sardegna. The producer of both is Vigneti Zaninata. We are talking about, you might have guessed it, Sardinian wines today. And we got to this in a circuitous way, Sandy, right? You want to talk about how we landed on tasting Sardinian wines today?
Yes, we did come around this in a roundabout way. I was doing some research on Blue Zone diets and came across their cookbook and found the Cananao grape or Cananao wines mentioned. And I thought, well, we need to try these Sardinian wines.
Absolutely. So we're going to do that with wine number one, and then we'll talk more about that Blue Zone diet. So wine number one is that Vermentina, and it's very light. It's a light white.
Oh, gosh, I went straight to the red.
You did. I saw you swinging the red, and I was like, wait, what are you doing? That's not wine number one. I don't think it might be pale yellow or medium yellow.
Yeah, I think I would go pale yellow. The smell jumps out of the glass out, though.
Oh, it does.
There's lots of aroma.
It does.
Which is always a good thing for me with white wine. I like a very aromatic white wine. It smells very minerally already.
Mm-hmm.
And peaches, maybe apricots. Oh.
That's very pleasant.
It really is.
That's actually a lot fruitier than I was expecting.
It's very fruity.
A lot of Italian wines and whites in particular are just so dry that you don't get that sense of fruit. But this is very pleasant.
And I anticipated more lemony, tartish, mm-hmm. but this has more ripe fruit flavors that are more peachy mm-hmm. to me.
It's like our when we had the Italian expert on, David, and we tasted that white wine. This is very similar to that one, but mm-hmm. I couldn't for the life of you tell you what that wine is. We'll have to look it up. But that it tastes very similar to that.
It really does. All right. Well, let's go ahead and talk about why we ended up coming around and about to this. I had stumbled across the Blue Zone diet, which has been in the news, I don't know, about 10 years or so, but it seems like it has now had a recent resurgence. Dan Brutner, he was the founder that ended up trademarking this lifestyle of the longest lived people. He did research on these centenarians, that people who lived over 100 years and that still were also healthiest. He came up with five different regions: Okinawa, Japan, Sardinia, Italy, Costa Rica, Arcara, Greece, and Loma Linda, California were those five areas.
And their hot spots are, he ended up calling them blue zones, but there's different pockets of the world where there's a large instance of people who live to or beyond 100. And he thought he wanted to really research those cultures and find out what, if there could be a common denominator.
Right, right. And just so that you guys know, I'll go ahead and share with you those common denominators that they felt as if were big reasons why they lived for a long time. They call them the power of nine. They said that they moved more naturally than people in other areas. They moved probably every 20 minutes, not necessarily. They were so, you know, have you ever heard of the sitting disease where you just kind of sit and then you just atrophy? So they mm-hmm. don't. They get up and they move around
They're
every
not
20
couch
minutes,
potatoes.
But they don't do organized functional exercise. It's just part of their daily life. The other thing is they have a purpose, which like a religion, mm-hmm. they always find a reason for life. They also, not only do they have stress, but they've learned how to cope with that stress. He calls it a downshift. Then the fourth reason or the fourth power is the 80% rule, which I've heard this a lot, but whenever you're 80% full, then you stop. You eat slow. It's intentional. Or even an 80-20 rule, you eat 80% healthy, then the rest is not so much. They also are very much plant-oriented, legumes, vegetables. They do eat some meat, but not very often.
It's not their major part of their diet.
It's very plant-centric. Then the sixth reason, which is what we
piqued our interest,
it was wine, that people did tend to drink wine 1 to 2 glasses per day, particularly in Sardinia. Not in the not in California, not Lola Linda, because that's a Quaker
society.
They did not drink there, but it was very moderate. They didn't save up all their wine for the weekend and then drink. Then it was a glass at dinner, or it was very food oriented kind of thing. Then the other number 7 was that they felt as if feel as if they have a sense of belonging, a strong sense of family and place. Which kind of flows into number 8, which is loved ones first. They are exceptionally family oriented.
That makes sense.
They have families live in multi-generational homes, that helps not only older people live, but then it also shows great health reasons even, and social reasons for the children too.
Well, they learn from the older folks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then they basically choose good social behaviors. They say that it's not necessarily where you're not necessarily your genes anymore that dictate how long you live. It's your choices that you make.
There's probably good science to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we can unpack that. But first, I wanted to back up, and that wine that we tried, it was episode 82 with the Italian wine expert, and it was a Malvasia. And it was another warmer climate, and it had that those floral notes, and we really enjoyed that wine a lot.
You can really tell that the climate has had such an impact on the fruit. It just makes it riper and jammier. But in a white wine, for those of you who find that sometimes white wines are too tart or really powerfully acidic, this may be your jam.
And what I found, especially with Italian wines that are more northern, they're so citric and they're very thin. This has a nice mouthfeel. And we didn't even warm this up too much. Just right out of the glass and the bottle, it has that more thicker feel in the mouth, that texture that I enjoy. And that was why we liked that Malvasia too.
Yeah.
So there you go. So that's a little bit about that one. Now, so another thing that I wanted to add with the Sardinian, there is an episode of Grey's Anatomy, and, you know, Meredith Grey is like a workaholic surgeon, never gets a break or anything. But somebody had asked her what she saw herself when she retired. And she said that I would say that was some writer had obviously just read the Blue Zone Diet, and they threw this in as a little color to the episode. But she said that she had been on a trip when she was younger, and that if she could go anywhere and slow down, she would go to Sardinia, where they grew their own gardens, and they cooked all their own foods, and they drank wine all the time, and they lived to be 100. And she said that was the perfect society.
So, gosh, that Grey's Anatomy was a long time ago, so it must have been when it first came out.
It was mid. I mean, it's been on for 17, 18 years, though. So it was one of those episodes of the last 18 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. So do we want to go ahead and move on to wine number 2?
Sure. Let's go ahead. Wine number 2 is the Cannonau, which is the one that is recommended. They do recommend to drink red wine because of the resveratrol, the
polyphenols.
Polyphenols, thank you. And then the anthocyanins that are in it. So
those are a lot of sciencey words.
They are a lot of sciencey words.
We'll talk about those after we talk about what it looks like.
But I just wanted to say that they wanted that's why they want you to mainly drink the red wine and not the white wine. But it is good to be able to have a companion to go with it. And the white wine was also from Sardinia.
I think in terms of color, we have garnet.
Yeah, I'm thinking deep garnet. We
got
a new color.
It's not deep purple. Thank goodness.
Yeah, deep garnet. Oh, it did say that we were supposed to decant this, but we did not. So we're trying to get it to warm up. So it's really not jumping out of the glass at all.
A lot of oak.
There is oak.
And tobacco.
Mm-hmm. Oak and smoke. We can go ahead and taste it.
I did.
Okay.
Ooh, I bet that would go good with a good stew.
Mm-hmm. And that was one of the pairing recommendations.
Oh, was it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, stews, cassoulets. Cannonau might be a grape that you haven't heard much about, but it's actually a Grenache, or it's a
the
Grenache
DNA.
Grape. Yes. And so in Spain, it's Garnacha, and in the Rhone, it's Grenache, and in Sardinia, it's Cannonau. And a little bit about, should we say a little bit about Sardinia, where it's located?
Yeah, you did some research about the people and all. So why don't you go ahead and tell us what you found out?
Well, so a lot of hullabaloo has been made over since this research from the Blue Zone, a lot of hullabaloo has been made about the longevity. And then so people then felt the need to research more about not only the people, but the Cannonau once it became kind of a hot and button item. And so thoughts were on trying to establish how old the winemaking in this region was, because now that you establish there's a science behind the longevity of the people, now how far back does it go?
Right. What are their diet? What was their diet like? That kind of thing.
Well, more just how long has the wine been part of their diet? And they actually discovered 3,200-year-old grape pips that were on a site in Sardinia. So they ended up taking those grapes and trying to, because one of the questions was Grenache first in Spain or was it first in Italy? And they were trying to establish. So they actually
right. Yeah, that's what I heard too, is they were like, okay, where did it originate? Because that's kind of what everybody wants to know. Mm-hmm. Did it originate in Mesopotamia and then went over? Was it in Spain? So then I heard that they were kind of going back and forth, Spain, Italy.
So as it turns out, you can't get that granular to find out. They did their best efforts, but they could not find out. But all that being said is they did establish the first known mention of Cannonau was back in 1549. So that's the first historical documents that mention this wine from this grape being made. So I don't know how many years ago, that's almost 500 years ago, that this wine has been being made in this area. So it's definitely a contributor to their society. And what they do, like you said, is it's generally a companion to their lunches and their dinners. It's not something that they're throwing back 4 and 5 glasses a night. It's just something that goes on the table with the meal. Mm-hmm. It's part of their daily meal. So you may be wondering exactly where Sardinia is. It's actually off the coast of Italy. And it's really close, in fact, to Africa. It's 200 kilometers away from Africa. One of the nearby islands is Corsica, mm-hmm. which is one of the French islands. So it's down there in the Mediterranean, and they follow the Mediterranean diet. So it's definitely a warmer climate. If you're thinking Italian Alps, this is not what you're getting there.
No, you're not. But there are different sub-appellations within Sardinia mm-hmm. because this wine seems to be more fruity. So I'm guessing it's going to be more towards the valley floor. But there are some mountains, and they say that they do become more steely and mineral. And it's kind of like that mountain grape anywhere. They take a little bit longer to ripen. Whereas whenever you're lower, then you get that salinity from off the ocean, since it is on an island. You also looked up some information about the soil type. What did you find out about that?
It tends to prosper best when it's grown in warm, gravelly, pebbly soils. And but that actually will limit its natural productivity. So it's going to have, you know, those low yield, high concentration, mm-hmm. which is what
you kind of want that.
You do. You do. And the wines are going to be generally higher in alcohol. I believe the minimum is 12.5. For the alcohol, so they're already blowing dry farms max
out. The information I read is that it's characterized by a medium level alcohol.
Well, 12.5 is still not your California big reds at 14.5, but the minimum amount to qualify is 12.5. So it's not going to go too low either. And you might be wondering what it generally will smell like and taste like. It's going to give off red berries, plum, and tobacco. And they're generally oaked, and it's going to pick up flavors of coffee and chocolate as it's oaked. And those are flavors that I enjoy.
Yeah,
I always enjoy those.
This is right in your wheelhouse. and they have a little bit of subtle floral flavors and a little bit of that peppery spice, but not a whole lot, because it does have that really ripe, luscious feel and taste.
One of the things that it definitely has a medium plus or higher level of is the tannin. Mm-hmm. And that high tannin is going to be where all those fun things that we mentioned when we first got started are.
Right.
The resveratrol is actually one of the better known anti-aging
properties.
Yes, that's the word. I'm going to say something else. But I was going to say product. I was trying to say product, and property is actually the proper one. So what about those other words that we mentioned?
It has high level of polyphenols and anthocyanins. Hell, I'll have to spell it out for you because I am terrible at pronouncing words. Anthocyanins. Anthocyanins. I think so.
Sure.
Anthocyanins. That's it. Anthocyanins.
And the science behind those.
Well, those are both have antioxidant properties, and they help with heart health.
There we go. So that's where you come into a glass of wine a day might help your heart.
Correct. That's how they get that.
Okay. So it's anti-aging, longevity, mm-hmm. and with...
Plus it makes you happy.
But with proper dosages and proper movement and all the other good things that they happen to have in a society that's fairly slow and idyllic as it is there in Sardinia. So you learned a little bit about those two wines. Well, this being our first episode of 2022, we wanted to kick it off on the right foot in a healthy way. And, you know, we wanted to remind everybody that wine can be a healthy option. And that was one of the reasons why we've been wanting to do the Canonau and feature it and talk about the Blue Zone diet and the way that wine can healthfully fit into your lifestyle. So I think that's a good way to kick
off. Everything in moderation.
That's right. And so as we always do, we'll go ahead and talk about our ratings and whether or not we like these wines. We want to start with the Vermentino.
Okay. I really enjoyed it. And I think it was like $13, $14. So it was at a really good price point. I would definitely buy this again because I like a very flavorful white wine.
Mm-hmm. What would it be? A 4?
Oh, yes, a 4.
Yeah. I'm going 4 too. If in that price point, especially something that you can count on and know that it's light and it's got a lot of flavor. That's definitely, and that mouthfeel is what really
I would not cook with this one though.
No.
This does not seem like I would cook with it at all. I would want more acid for cooking. So just an aside.
Okay. And then the Canonau.
The Canonau, I believe this was a little bit pricier. I think it was like 20, 22, somewhere in there.
It tastes like a Grenache or a...
It tastes very Spanish to me. I think they must have used American oak because the oak taste, it doesn't taste like French oak to me. I don't know if I'm just making it up or not. I didn't look at the specs, but it tastes very Spanish to me.
Well, I think it tastes more like... So when I get a Grenache from the Rhone Valley, it tastes totally different than a Grenache that I get from Spain. And this is more in that Spanish
style. It really is. I think they are very similar. It's very much more similar to Spain than it is to France.
Yes.
And I'm going 3.5.
I'm probably going to go 3.5 too, because I would probably pick a Rhone Grenache
over because that's
my preference is. But if there's not that science and there's not that little pocket of 100-year-old people in the Rhone Valley.
So I may do.
It gets like a 3 and it gets a 3.8. It gets a kick if you're going for the health benefit alone, the flavors are similar. And if you like a Grenache, then you would definitely like this. And I think that just based on the Blue Zone diet, you can look it up, the book. It's definitely a great book. Mm-hmm. I ordered it for my daughter. You've got it. So we definitely are cooking out of it as well. it's a great thing to just try.
Well, we have the Blue Zone Cookbook. There's Blue Zone Cookbook. There's a whole bunch of other different stuff.
Well, and they actually have their own Blue Zone wine that they've somehow labeled, mm-hmm. and we didn't get our hands on that. But if you look, because of that research that's been done, Cannonau is a highly sought after.
Much more popular.
Right. And if you didn't like this bottle, try another one. So I would definitely encourage you to try
this. This is the second Cannonau that we have had, mm-hmm. and I really did not like the first one. It did not have much backbone. Mm-hmm. So I like this one much, much better. The winemaking I think the winemaking is done very well.
And as a special aside, we do know a couple that they're from Italy. They're importers here, distributors here in our area. And we actually reached out to them and said, hey, we're looking. We want to find a Cannonau. And Rita, it's a husband and wife. Rita said, well, that's right where my family is from. That's I definitely can get you that. So and she recommended this one.
Yeah, so that's how we got this one.
That's right. Well, we hope that you enjoyed learning a little bit about a healthful wine or a wine that might fit into a healthful lifestyle if followed properly. And we hope that if you did enjoy it, you would share this episode with a family member or friend who might have interest in weaving wine into their healthy lifestyle.
And give us that 5-star review, and we hope you join us next time on Wines Defined.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of Wines Defined. For today's show notes, visit us at www.pickagreatwine.com. Follow us on social media for bonus and live content. Instagram at Wines Defined Podcast, Facebook at Wines Defined, and Twitter at Wines Defined. And don't forget to join us next time on Wines Defined.